Things we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Here in the United States, we're celebrating President's Day. It's a holiday here in honor of the first American president, George Washington. So we hope you're having a great President's Day wherever you're listening to the Voice of America. To start things off, I saw plenty of one recent American president this past weekend in Chicago on TV. I'm talking about none other than number 44, Barack Obama. That's because the NBA All-Star Weekend took place in Obama's hometown of Chicago. We talked about the event plenty last week here on the Sunny Side of Sports, so let's quickly get you caught up on the results of the weekend. We'll have some more details shortly, but the first big event was the Rising Stars game on Friday night. In that game, the NBA's top rookies and sophomores took the floor. Team USA defeated the world team 151-131. The MVP was Miles Bridges of the Charlotte Hornets. Bridges scored 20 points with 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. RJ Barrett brought a bright spot to a rough season for the New York Knicks with 27 points, leading all scorers. The game was relaxed and fun as the players weren't concerned that much with who would win the game, as they put a priority on putting on a good show for the crowd. It even turned into an informal slam dunk contest in the last few minutes. Now, speaking of the slam dunk contest, one of the Saturday highlights, we're joined now with this report from the Associated Press's David Schuster in Chicago.
The slam dunk contest went 2 overtimes before Miami's Derrick Jones defeated Orlando's Aaron Gordon. Jones totaled 4 perfect scores while Gordon had 5, but on their last dunks, Jones prevailed by 1 point. Jones was pretty happy afterwards.
I feel great. You know, just being able to get an achievement like this on a day like this, you know, it's special for me. You know, this is a day that I'm gonna tell my kids and just make sure that they know that this is a day for me.
Jones wasn't the only winner from Miami. His teammate Bam Adebayo won the skills contest over the Pacers' Domantas Sabonis. And in the three-point contest, Sacramento's Buddy Hield defeated the Suns' Devin Booker when he connected on his final shot. David Schuster, Chicago.
Thank you, David. And we've got more from Bam, the skills contest winner. He said he had some extra inspiration to showcase his ability due to something he saw on social media before the event.
I read a tweet that I was last to win in Vegas. So whoever bet, I hope you got your money. And hope you go buy yourself a Ruth Chris Cheesecake Factory, something in that fashion.
Bam, of course, is talking about some chain restaurants in Chicago, Las Vegas, wherever else you might be to enjoy a dinner on him. Buddy Hield, who was one of the best shooters coming out of college a couple years ago, he's managed to continue that by making three-pointers in the NBA at a rate of over 40%. He showed his long-range skills on Saturday night.
I felt great. You know, like I said earlier, as a shooter, this is on your bucket list. You have to come in and you want to win an NBA three-point shootout. And when I say the stack feel like that, you know, makes it much even more better. But, you know, pressure is on, you got to show up.
The fun on Saturday night set up the big Team LeBron versus Team Giannis matchup on Sunday. The key in that game, like on the playground, is that they would play until the winning team reached 157 points. David Schuster is back with that report.
Anthony Davis hit the game-winning free throw as Team LeBron rallied to defeat Team Giannis 157-155 in the NBA All-Star Game. The game was played under a new format, and it worked as the two teams actually played defense in the final quarter. Kawhi Leonard was named the game's MVP, scoring a game-high 30 points, including making 8 three-pointers. Leonard talks about winning the MVP, now named for Kobe Bryant.
Words can't explain how happy I am for it. You know, able to put that trophy
in my room, in my trophy room, and just be able to see, you know, Kobe name on there, it just means a lot to me.
LeBron James scored 23 points, as did Chris Paul off the bench. Giannis had 25 in a losing cause, with Kemba Walker adding 23. David Schuster, Chicago.
Thank you, David. Now, LeBron broke down the final play that led to Anthony Davis getting fouled and going to the line, where he won it.
We had a great play call for Kawhi to get to a sweet spot. They kind of doubled AD at the beginning of the play and left James open in the corner. James drove baseline, kicked it to CP, and then CP drove it, hit me, and they were kind of all scattered. And AD had Kyle Lowry on him at the time, and he just got a great duck in seal, and I was able to just throw the ball and get the foul. So. Was not planned, but just smart basketball.
That's LeBron James talking about the 2020 NBA All-Star Game. Now, the league is back in business on Thursday with 6 games. I'm Dan Friedell, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Speaking of basketball, one last note. Now, on Friday's show, I mentioned running into the women's basketball team from my alma mater, Brandeis University. The judges were leaving the airport to head to Rochester, New York, and Atlanta, Georgia. I promised you the results today. Turns out, after losing to Rochester on Friday night, the judges also played a close game, a one-point game, just like in the NBA All-Star game on Sunday. However, Brandeis came out on the losing end against the Emory University Eagles, falling 58-57. The judges made a furious comeback in the fourth quarter, but fell just short. Moving on now to international sports, Samson Omale keeps us in the world of round ball as he leads his report with news from the Basketball Africa League.
The Basketball African League, a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, NBA, has announced the 12 club teams from 12 African countries that will compete in the league's inaugural season, which tip off on Friday, March 13th at the Dakar Arena in Dakar, Senegal. Champions from national leagues in 6 countries, Angola, Egypt, Morocco, Nigeria, Senegal, and Tunisia, were guaranteed representation in the inaugural Basketball African League season. The remaining 6 teams, which came from Algeria, Cameroon, Madagascar, Mali, Mozambique, and Rwanda, secured their participation through the Basketball League qualifying tournament conducted by FIBA Africa across the continent in late 2019. Andres Zaglis, Secretary General of FIBA, clarifies the workings and operations of the Basketball African League.
This is a league of balance. The league allows the champions, not franchises, the champions of certain countries to have direct spots, and then allows the champions of qualifying tournaments to have their spots. So the road to BAL is open. The road to BAL is not closed, and we believe that the development of these clubs would allow good players from the African continent to develop, stay in the continent, have a professional career.
In athletics news, New York Marathon champion Jeffrey Kamawuro will skip the African Cross Country Championship in Lomé, Togo to compete at the World Half Marathon on March 29th in Poland. Another top star and Kenya's champion in cross country, Sheila Chelagat, will also be in Sevilla, Spain for the road race, opting to hand over her place to upcoming Margaret Chilimo. Kenya selected its 40-member team for the African contest as most top names skipped the event to focus on the indoor circuit and the track competition in a year that would culminate in the Olympic Games in Tokyo. Kenya's Sports Cabinet Secretary Amina Mohamed insists Kenya still has what it takes to lead the world in the short and long distance races.
Today we are validating our position as world leaders. Kenya is actually the country to look at for all these cross-country races that we have. And so this is just to validate that.
In golf news, Nigeria's Andrew Ochieh Odor beat Kenya's Dismas Indiza by 2 shots in Kampala to claim the Kintate Open Golf title at the Par 72 Uganda Golf Club course at the weekend. This was Odo's first victory in the Safari Tour, and he was excited to lead the other professionals to the top of the title. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. For more on African athletics, we're joined now by Iron Mike Mbonye, who has this report from Ozoro on Nigeria's first competition of the year, designed to choose athletes for this year's Summer Olympics in Tokyo. Sporty greetings, Mike.
Siminayale Young Pepple is the Director General of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria. He says the all-commerce athletics competition is open to all athletes. He says the federation will use the competition to select athletes for the Tokyo Olympic Games. Pepple says the federation is impressed with the outcome of the all-commerce athletics competition.
There's a lot of hope, and we're quite impressed, especially with the age of these athletes that we have seen today. We are beginning to put in place the thing that world leaders in sports do. Pick them young, begin to groom them, have a program. You see, our aim in the AFN is to make sure that we have a pool from where we'll continue to pick athletes to represent Nigeria.
Pepple says the federation monitors the performance of foreign-based athletes.
We are in touch with them and they are doing well. We are monitoring their performance, their progress. And I can assure you that our plan, our focus, our determination to get at least 2 gold medals is still on course.
Pepple says athletes selected will compete with foreign-based athletes for the final selection of Team Nigeria for the Olympic Games. Ayemoba Grace, a female sprinter, says she's optimistic of making the Nigerian Olympic team.
By God's grace, with my stats, with the performance I have today, by God's grace, and I believe all things work out well, I pray for injury-free. Before the end of this season, before the Olympic game, I hope to do better, to make the Olympics team.
Eserogene Oguma, a male 400 meters athlete, says there is need for more competitions to keep the athletes informed and enhance their chances of making the Olympic roster.
Yes, I believe like the more competitions you run, the better you become, you know, so this is like the starting point, and we do hope that from here more competitions will come up and increase our chances at the Olympics, to qualify for the Olympics.
The Athletics Federation of Nigeria says it has 24 competitions to keep the athletes in good shape before the Olympic Games. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Ozoro, Nigeria.
Thank you, Mike. Now, for more on athletics, we're joined by Andy Edwards with this report about the Muller Indoor Grand Prix in Glasgow on Saturday. He highlights Armand Duplantis, who he mentioned on Friday, as well as Kenyan Bethwa Bergen. Welcome, Andy.
There is no stopping Armand Mondo Duplantis. The Scottish capital of Glasgow on Saturday was the stage for his latest bravura performance in the pole vault, when he cleared, first time, 6 metres and 18. There was a big gap between him and the bar, suggesting there are more world records to come for the Swede, either in what little remains of the indoor season or outdoors in this Olympic year. Duplantis didn't attempt to improve on his world indoor record, having already taken 5 jumps to reach that height. He began with the bar at 6 metres exactly, which shows how confident he is at present, and rightly so. The current world champion, Sam Kendricks of the USA, finished second with a best of 5.75 metres, but he's having a solid season as well, having broken the North American indoor record a week ago. The running events in Glasgow offered plenty of action and food for thought in a year when all thoughts in track and field lead to the Tokyo Olympics. Muriel Ahure of the Ivory Coast finished second in a high-class women's 60 metres, but this was the world indoor champion's first race of the season. Ahure can be pleased with her time of 7.22 seconds behind Jamaica's double Olympic champion Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce. Bethwa Bergen showed strong form to win the men's 1500. The Kenyan ran the fastest time of the year with 3:36.22 and would have been a strong contender for gold in the 3,000 metres if the World Indoor Championships in China had not been postponed. There was plenty of talent on display on the women's side, and, for once, the Africans were outshone by Europeans, as one of the stars of the indoor season, Britain's Gemma Riki, won the 1500. The Scot is the fastest in the world this season at 800 and showed good tactical awareness in defeating Ethiopia's Dawit Seyam, although the former world indoor silver medalist was making her season's debut. Morocco's Rababe Arafi, a world championship finalist last year in the 800, finished third. This victory offered further proof that Gemma Riki could pose a threat in an Olympic final, despite her relative inexperience. Her training partner and European 1500-metre champion Laura Muir also ran strongly to win, but missed out on a world record in the 1,000 metres. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thank you, Andy. I just wanted to update you on the Super Cup match that we mentioned on Friday. Zamalek outscored Esperance 2-1 in the second half to account for a 3-1 victory, their fourth Super Cup title. We're joined now by Prince Nesta with a recap of the weekend in European soccer. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Dan. Arsenal can't lose in the second half to cruise to a 4-0 win over Newcastle United at the Emirates Stadium, thanks to goals from Gabon hitman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, Ivorian attacker Nicolas Pepe, Mesut Ozil, and French forward Alexandre Lacazette. Arsenal's win moves them up in the top half of the table in 10th place, 6 points behind North London rivals Tottenham, who claimed a last-gasp 3-2 victory at Aston Villa to move up to 5th in the Premier League. Senegal danger man Sadio Mane's late winner also earned Liverpool a 1-0 win over Norwich. The win means Klopp's men need just 5 more wins from their remaining 12 games to guarantee their first Premier League title in 30 years, having dropped just 2 points all campaign and lie a mammoth 25 points clear of champions Manchester City. And talking about Manchester City, the reigning Premier League champions have actually been banned from the Champions League for 2 seasons by UEFA for quote-unquote serious breaches of spending rules and failing to cooperate with investigations. The punishment prevents City from playing in any European competition, including the Europa League, until the 2022-2023 season.
My colleague Gwen Uten will be here shortly with more on that big Manchester City story. Now, Prince, Chelsea resumes their Premier League campaign against Manchester United.
Yeah, the Red Devils know that a win is actually vital and will be looking to return from the winter break in style as they face their top 4 rivals at Stamford Bridge. They actually go into the match 9th in the Premier League and 6 points behind 4th place Chelsea. Chelsea top scorer and English striker of Nigerian descent Tammy Abraham will have a late fitness test on his ankle problem, while American playmaker Christian Pulisic and Ruben Loftus-Cheek are not yet ready to return from their injury issues. New Manchester United signing and Nigerian attacker Odion Ighalo is also in the squad after his loan move from China, and he could feature in the match. Chelsea fans will also be excited to hear that the Blues have lost just one of their past 17 Premier League home games against Manchester United. The Red Devils, who won 4-0 in the reverse fixture in August, are looking for their first league double over Chelsea since the 1987-1988 season.
Prince, I saw that PSG was forced to settle for a draw.
Yes, indeed. Paris Saint-Germain equaled the French league record after scoring in consecutive away games as they took part in an incredible 4-all draw in Amiens, despite being without star man Neymar and French striker of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe. Amiens raced to a 3-goal lead in the first 40 minutes of the encounter, thanks to goals from French footballer of Guinean descent Serou Gourassi, DR Congolese footballer Gaël Kakuta, and French footballer of Malian descent Foseni Diabate. However, a brace from French footballer of Ivorian descent Tanguy Kouassi, goals from Ander Herrera and Mauro Icardi held the Parisians ahead before Gourassi's 91st minute equalizer. Nigerian international striker Victor Osimhen also got his 13th French top-flight strike, as Lille surrendered a goal lead to lose 2-1 to second-place Olympique Marseille, while Lyon's poor form in the French league continued on Sunday with a 1-1 home draw against Strasbourg at the Groupama Stadium.
Prince, thank you for that update. We look forward to hearing more from you next week. Now we're joined by my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten, who has more reaction to the story of Manchester City's financial problems and the ban from the Champions League. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. Man City has been accused of overstating its sponsorship revenue in its accounts between 2012 and 2016. And on Friday, UEFA issued a statement that said the European club had committed serious breaches of financial fair play rules. The European governing body added Man City has failed to cooperate in the investigation. Athletes and managers across the league have reacted to news of the sanction and expressed sympathy for Man City manager Pep Guardiola. Liverpool head coach Jurgen Klopp, whose side currently sits 25 points ahead of City at the top of the table, said news of the ban took him completely by surprise.
It was a shock when I heard it, when I saw it. Somebody sent me, I think, the headline, and the only thing, I have no idea how these kind of things, how it works, how it happens. The only thing what I can say, as a football coach, these Man City, under Pep Guardiola, since I'm here, play sensational football, and that's how it is. I always admired what they do, what he's doing, what they do, and that will not end in this moment, obviously. But I can imagine it's hard. It's really hard in the moment for the sports people. You trust your people, they tell you it's all fine, and obviously the UEFA sees that slightly different, and now they have to deal with it. I have no idea what will happen next.
Last season, Liverpool were runners-up in the Champions League, just 1 point behind Manchester City. In the wake of the sanctions, Klopp says he knows firsthand the impact Pep Guardiola's side has had on European football.
To be honest, I feel for Pep and the players, because they did for sure nothing wrong. They just played football and sensational football. Wherever Pep was, he helped each league to improve football, and but then in the end we all have to respect some rules, and I have no idea if they did or not, but obviously UEFA sees it like this, that they didn't, and then we will see what happens.
Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta was the assistant coach for Man City before joining his current team last year, and Arteta expressed his sympathy for his former club.
I've been in contact with me. I just want the best for City. The admiration and love that I have for Pep, and only Pep, the staff, the players, I just want the best for them. I know how hard they work, and hopefully, you know, a positive thing can come for them. The first reaction is I was shocked, and be in contact with Pep and the people at the club that I know, you know, to feel for them, because I know they are suffering. I don't think we know at the moment what can happen, you know, and if there is any further actions to other clubs or not, we'll have to wait and see.
Former Real Madrid and Portugal footballer Luis Figo also gave his respects to Man City, but stressed the importance of playing by the rules.
Well, what I know is that he's punished because you don't accomplish the rules. I think it's a committee who decide that, and for sure they have the legacy to do it. So I think financial fair play exists for long. All the clubs, they are informed about that, and it's a decision like in this case of the clubs, or you accomplish, or you know that you can have the sanction.
If the ban is upheld, City would not be allowed to compete in next season's Champions League, should they qualify. In response to the sanction, the Premier League club has said they intend to appeal the decision to the Court of Arbitration of Sport. And we will keep you updated on this story as news develops. And that is all from me. Back over to you, Dan.
Thank you, Gwen. We'll definitely be following that story over the next few weeks. What's going on in Manchester City. That wraps up the February 17th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Nadia Taha. Thanks also to VOA engineer, John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. Thanks to Sonny for having me here on the big chair. He's back on Tuesday. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London!
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour. Whoa. Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews. Ooh. Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Ah. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
The World Health Organization says by 2050, 10 million people throughout the world could die each year from diseases that are resistant to antibiotics. As microbes continue to develop mutations and render previously effective medications useless, scientists are developing new methods of treatment to fight these so-called superbugs. Researchers from Canada's McMaster University say they have found from their experiments with mice that a new group of antibiotics called glycopeptides can kill bacteria in a new and unique way. They say the new drugs can stop functions that are necessary for bacterial cells to divide and multiply. The researchers found that these new antibiotics can block infections caused by the drug-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, a group of microbes that can cause a number of serious diseases, including pneumonia. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.